Hello, and welcome to Leading the Way, Women in Higher Education, a podcast dedicated to celebrating, supporting, and advancing women in higher education across Michigan. Hello, I'm Dr. Cynthia Rooker, and today we're exploring the enduring impact of leadership through the lens of the emerita role. Joining us today is Dr. Christine Hammond. Good morning, and would you please introduce yourself?
Well, good morning, Cynthia. It's a pleasure to be with you, and always a pleasure to talk about Michigan ACE Network. I've been with the network since my graduate assistantship days, and that was in the early 90s, 1990, as a matter of fact, as the network was just young then and very much growing. It might help to say that over the years, I've now become an emeritus member of the board, and according to our organizational bylaws, emerita are senior leaders who have been designated, and it really is a special honor, to help the board and help the organization following some period of significant service that each of us has been recognized for. Throughout my career, the network has been vitally important. As a young and emerging professional, seeing the role models that I had in other senior women on the Michigan ACE Executive Board was inspiring to me. I will also say that as I grew as a professional into mid-level positions, it was so affirming to be able to call on that level of expertise and to ask questions in a candid way, knowing that the people who were on Michigan ACE's board would give me their very best advice, would understand when I made mistakes, would congratulate and encourage me as they saw my career progress. In fact, I will say that my desire, my intention to apply for the presidency of Mid-Michigan College, I served as its president for 6 years and retired in 2020, was an outgrowth of the work that I did with the network. It was a person from the network who called me and said, "We've watched your career over the years and enjoyed your leadership. The current president is retiring. Have you thought about a presidency?" That sort of encouragement through the years has made a difference for me. As an emeritus member of the board now, I hope that I can have that same impact, can provide that service for other women and men as they come through their professional pipeline to make the most of higher education, which is so important in our state and in our country today.
Fantastic. Wow, what a legacy you have definitely trailed for other women in shaping institutions and making future leaders. That's wonderful. Well, let's go ahead and get started with our questions. Could you please share just a bit about your path? You've explained a little bit about it, but as far as becoming emerita, like, what role does that mean to you personally and professionally?
Yes, the emerita status is a special honor. It's occasionally bestowed by action of the board in recognition of significant service or exceptional contributions. I think all of us who are in this emeritus role, and there are two versions of the emeritus role. There is an active emeritus status and an honorary emeritus status. I was active for many years and have now moved into honorary status. I think that all of us hope that we provide some level of continuity for the organization, some, we hope, wisdom about why decisions were made as they were, as the organization has developed. And Michigan ACE has blossomed so beautifully. I mean, it was a small organization when it first started back in 1977, It was a few brave senior women who were committed to advancing the role of women in higher education. Over the years, that has expanded, and now we have women at all levels from across the state, and those of us who are emerita, we provide some service, but we also get the benefit of getting to know the emerging leaders in our state and the women who are doing wonderful work in colleges of all types.
That's fantastic. Wow. So much that you could share with us. This is great. Well, in reference to, so with Michigan ACE, how they envision an open higher education environment, how have you seen this vision evolve over the course of your career?
Yes, right. The network is very committed to an open and just higher education environment. That is a core value for us. As I said earlier, the network has just blossomed over the years. And I would say one of the elements of diversity that I cherish and that I use as I'm talking to prospective participants in the network is to talk about the diversity of roles within the network. When the network first started, and there were just a few states back in 1977, 78, 79, they were really women leaders. They were people who were at the vice president or president level trying to open up the pipeline for other leaders. In doing that, they broadened access by opening doors to women of all ages in higher education. We have had programs for undergraduate women. We certainly have supported graduate women, both in their participation in the network, but also with support for certain research projects over the years. It is, I think, the only organization in which you will find members who are from community colleges, private colleges, mid-sized public colleges, R1 universities, so a variety of institutions, and you will find women who are pursuing graduate degrees, who are new in their careers, maybe having their very first professional experience, people who are mid-career, people who are moving up through the ranks through something like the Leader Shadow Program, and you'll find senior leaders, people who are at the kind of top of their career or getting ready for retirement. And then those of us who are emerita, most of us are retired and can look back on our careers and have the opportunity to help others and learn from them as well.
Oh, that's a great example as far as how it's really evolved over the years. That's you where you meet them, where they're at, and if they want to grow from there or look at other avenues or stay where they're at. Wow, that's fantastic. Could you please share maybe some of the most meaningful ways that you've worked to elevate women's voices in leadership?
Sure. I would really encourage anyone who's listening to us today, Cynthia, to consider participating in the annual conference. It is a remarkable event every year and not only provides really good professional development, good workshops, good recognition of achievements by women and by our institutions over the past years, but it is a great way to build your own network. You know, now that I'm sort of more senior in my professional role, it's interesting to me to hear what has made a difference to others as they interact with me. And I'm struck by the number of times people will say things like, I remember that conversation we had when we talked about, or you once told me da-da-da-da-da. When I hear those recollections from others, I'm reminded of how important personal relationships are, that we have a chance through the network to meet each other person to person and to be there for one another without much artifice or competition. We're not competing with each other in the network. We are encouraging and affirming one another.
Oh, I love that. Yes, and thank you so much for that plug about the conference, because, yes, that is.
Yep. In the early days, as mm-hmm. I say about the evolution of the network, the conference traveled around the state, and we were pretty happy if we got 40, 50 people to go to the conference. You know, now we are every year somewhere between 250 and 300 women from across the state. How special is that? I mean, that is wonderful growth, people coming back year after year to reconnect and to get sort of rejuvenated. And in stressful roles, as many sure. roles in higher education are, not just now, but over the years, mm-hmm. those conferences provide that affirmation that gives you that little boost to say, yep, I know why I'm doing this work, and I'm going to go back and do it even better on my campus.
There you go.
So I think the conference and the Women of Color Collaborative Luncheon and the Leadership Shadow Program, all of those opportunities and more give us support for our members and our institutions.
Absolutely. Well, Chris, can you please tell us how you personally have contributed to mentoring emerging women leaders? And why is that work so important to you?
Yes, it is very important to me and very significant, because you learn from those you are trying to mentor. For me, the Senior Shadow Program, when I was the president at MID, enabled me to bring other voices, women's voices from the network, right to the campus, and to have that opportunity to work with those women, one of whom I worked with a number of years ago, and she just reached out to me last week and said, I'm a finalist for a presidency. So you see the growth of the people who you're working with, and you know that they are going to do great things. That mentoring has done a lot. The Young Women Strong Leaders program that we had for many years, I think, was an opportunity for us to open doors for women who were undergrad or grad students at the time. And I remember how special it was when I was a grad student and a woman who had already launched her career successfully would talk to me as a real person and engage with me as a colleague. I learned a lot about how to navigate higher education. And I hope that in some ways I've been able to share that with others.
Oh, it sounds like you already have, right? For many women,
yeah.
Right? Absolutely. So with the IDEALS framework, which is identify, develop, encourage, advance, link, support, that guides Michigan ACE's effort, can you explain which of these principles resonates most with your own leadership journey?
Yes. Thank you for that question. I think the IDEALS framework is such a nice mnemonic for helping us to remember what we're about. And I often talk to our institutional representatives about keeping those in mind, because they're such concrete objectives. We want to identify promising leaders on our campus, to see them develop, to encourage them along the way, to maybe open doors, mention their name in the right circles, help them advance, put them on the right committees, let them go to the right conferences, and then linking people together and supporting them both as a group and at the individual level. Of those, I think identifying is probably the key. The initial name of the network, when it was first established by ACE, was the National Identification Program, and it was to identify promising leaders. That's really what needs to happen and what we want to have happen for ourselves, right? We want somebody to see us. And so I think those of us in the network provide a valuable function when we can really see the talent in others, identify that leadership potential, and then go on to use the other ideals develop, encourage, advance, link, and support to take that from just an identification, oh, that person's doing good work, to that person's doing good work and I should help her do more of it. I think that's what I would say about the ideals framework. I love that framework.
I love what you just explained. I think that's fabulous. In fact, I'm the IR, the institutional rep for Lansing Community College, very proudly and honored to be one. And
thank you for that service.
Thank you. And I enjoy it very much. I can, as you were speaking, I was thinking, I could see that on a t-shirt or something. Wow, I could see that. We'll have to market that a little more. But that's on another note.
Okay.
But anyway, so as a Merita leader, what keeps you inspired and engage as you connect with the evolving needs of the institutions and within our communities?
Right. And for those of us who are retired and have moved on to other things, that can be a challenge, right? And so it's great for us that we get to know emerging leaders and women who are coming through their careers. In my case, when I retired from the presidency of MID, I signed on with the registry. And the registry, as you may know, is an organization that places interim leaders in higher education when a college or university has an immediate need. And so I've done two vice president of academic affairs positions. And then most recently last year, I served as the interim president for the College of DuPage in Illinois. It's a college of about 29,000 students. Those positions have helped me to stay connected and actually have given me a further appreciation for the Michigan network. Not every state has a network as strong as Michigan's. And so we really can take pride, and we've been recognized at least twice by the national network as an outstanding statewide network. We can take pride in the work that we're doing. I also stay connected through Michigan ACE, through the various initiatives. I'm delighted that we're starting this podcast. I will be listening to all of those and really trying to learn from each of the sessions.
Fantastic. Well, good to know we've got a fan out there anyway for future
That's
reference.
Right.
That's great. So, you know, looking at our current landscape of higher education, which is evolving and constantly changing, Chris, could you tell us what advice would you give to women who are aspiring to senior leadership roles today? What would you tell them?
I would encourage women in leadership today who are aspiring for senior leadership roles to be brave and to keep a sense of perspective. So if your career is a book, what you are going through now may be just part of a chapter, and things will change. I think sometimes when we're in difficult situations, it's easy to become mired in them and to think that they will always be that way. But we look for the positive elements, and we can be intentional about that. Research shows that for every negative experience that we have, we need three positive experiences to counteract it. When we are struggling, when something negative happens, when we face a challenge or make a mistake, we can then go out and get three positive experiences to counteract that. And I think some of those positive experiences can easily come through our relationships with the network. You have a store of positive energy in Michigan ACE upon which you can draw, and we shouldn't forget that.
Wow, that's fantastic advice. So finally, what does legacy mean to you? In other words, how do you hope that your work continues to influence future leaders in Michigan?
I think that those of us in administration see our legacy in part in the policy decisions and the programs that we might begin. But it is especially in the people that we leave a legacy. It is the people who will think back to the conversations we've had, the opportunities, the projects we've worked on together. Those are the things that are going to carry on through the next generation. Will my name be attached to those? Maybe not, and that's okay. But the ideas and the sense that higher education is valuable and opens doors in our country and is good for what we're trying to do, I think that is an important legacy that is worth pursuing, whether our name's attached to it or not.
Oh, absolutely. Valuable legacy. Absolutely. So much. Well, Chris, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, your experiences and reflections on the role of emerita in higher education. I have to tell you, your story reminds me so much of leadership that is not just about titles, but also you mentioned and you explained the impact, the mentorship, and the legacy that we all will leave behind. So I appreciate the honor and definitely the conversation that we've had today. This has been so enlightening and educational in so many different ways. Thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure to talk with you, and I hope that when I go to the conference next June, I'll be able to talk with people who have listened to these podcasts.
Yes.
Thanks so much for giving me the opportunity.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thanks for tuning in to Leading the Way, Women in Higher Education. To listen to this episode and others, visit lccconnect.com. Until next time, keep leading, keep learning, and keep lifting others along the way.
Examining the issues and topics that affect our lives from the local level to the world stage. Listen to the programs of LCC Connect anytime at lccconnect.org.
LCC Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Lansing Community College is proud to be a veteran-oriented campus. Through the Center for Veteran and Family Support, LCC provides resources, guidance, and a welcoming community for those who have served, are currently serving, or support someone who has. Student veterans will find resources such as computer labs, academic advising, and available counseling for personal support, along with veteran education benefit assistance and VA healthcare assistance through the VA Vital Program. To learn more about veteran support and resources at LCC, visit lcc.edu and search Veteran Services.
Thank you for listening to LCC Connect. I'm Paul Schwartz, and I host a show called The Safety Plan. The Safety Plan is about the latest cyber scams and how to avoid them. You can catch The Safety Plan here on LCC Connect or listen anytime at lccconnect.org.
Attention men, under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, good evening, officer. A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, I'm a catch, more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place.
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The Lansing Community College Foundation provides scholarships that make education possible, change students' lives, and uplift our community. Students may apply for scholarships November 1st through January 31st. Learn more at lcc.edu/scholarships.
LCC
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
This is Amy Wagoner from the Historical Society of Michigan with a Michigan History Moment. It was called Michigan's White Pine Era. During the late 19th and early 20th centuries, loggers clear-cut their way through Michigan's pine forests. They devastated the land. In their wake lay nothing but endless acres of tree stumps. Yet out of all the destruction came something of beauty, the Shrine of the Pines. Raymond Bud Overholzer was an accomplished outdoorsman from Ohio. A fishing trip brought him to Baldwin, Michigan area, and he fell in love with it. In 1921, he and his wife, Hortense, moved to Michigan and made Baldwin their home. There, Overholzer worked as a hunting and fishing guide and supplemented his income as a taxidermist. The landscape of tree stumps impressed the outdoorsman. Where other people saw only ruin, Overholzer saw an opportunity to memorialize the lost forests. He envisioned a shrine of the pines that he would fashion from the tree stumps. Like a sculptor who looked at a slab of marble and saw an image inside it, Overholzer imagined forms that lay within the tangle of roots in the pine stumps. Out of those, he fashioned beautiful pieces of furniture, tables, chairs, beds, and other items. He used no power tools, nails, or screws. He made everything with hand tools, wooden pegs, dowels, and glue. In 1935, Bud and Hortense began to offer public tours of his creations. In a journal, Hortense recorded the history of each piece and how Bud had crafted it. In 1940 and 1941, they had a log cabin built to display the furniture. Local builders used white pine logs from Newaygo to erect a structure that resembled a hunting lodge, including a stone fireplace made from 70 tons of uncut rock. Visitors from all over came to Baldwin to tour the Shrine of the Pines. In 1952, Bud Overholzer died of a heart attack. Hortense passed away in 1959. Hortense had bequeathed the Shrine of the Pines to the Boys Club of Michigan. It eventually went to Boysville, a Jesuit home for boys, which operated it as a museum until 1980. Fearing that the shrine would be demolished, the local community formed a nonprofit to purchase it. Today, the Shrine of the Pines operates as a museum complex on the Père Marquette River. There, you can visit Bud Overholzer's wooden creations and stroll through the woods on nature paths. This Michigan History Moment was brought to you by MichiganHistoryMagazine.org.
Featuring the faculty, staff, students, and others that helped to make Lansing's premier college what it is today. LCC Connect, Mid-Michigan's connection to Lansing Community College. To find out more about our featured programs or to listen on demand, visit us at lccconnect.org.
LCC Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Academic success is a priority at Lansing Community College, and when assistance is needed, tutoring is available to all students. The LCC Tutoring Services at LCC has developed several options to work with students in their busy schedules, including WebEx tutoring sessions, math exam prep parties, and the Writing Center. Resources include quick print stations, chemistry and anatomy models, microscopes, and several other tools to help students. Tutors may also be available for pre-scheduled after-hours appointments. To find out more about tutoring services, visit lcc.edu/tutoring.
Hi, I'm Melissa Kaplan, and I host a show called Galaxy Forum on LCC Connect. It's all about the creativity in our classrooms and on campus here at LCC and the connections we have with the community. You can catch Galaxy Forum here on LCC Connect or listen anytime at lccconnect.org.
If you or someone you know lives with epilepsy, be aware of an uncommon but fatal complication called sudden unexpected death in epilepsy, also known as SUDEP. It is the sudden, unexpected death of a person with epilepsy who is otherwise healthy. Each year, SUDEP kills 1 in 1,000 adults with epilepsy and 1 in 4,500 children with epilepsy. The American Academy of Neurology and the American Epilepsy Society have released a new medical guideline to help patients, families, and caregivers better understand SUDEP and its risk factors. A high risk factor is generalized tonic-clonic seizures that involve the entire body. The guideline shows that reducing the number of tonic-clonic seizures could lower the risk of SUDEP. If you have epilepsy, it is important that you talk with your neurologist. To learn more about SUDEP, visit aan.com/guidelines. That's aan.com/guidelines.
Lansing Community College's School of Business incorporates areas of study including marketing, insurance, management, and more. Transfer options and direct degree options are both available depending on the area of study. To find out more about LCC's business programs, visit lcc.edu.
LCC.
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Now Spinning, the official podcast of the Lansing Community College Vinyl Record Club. We meet twice a month to listen to vinyl and talk about music. Stay tuned to learn about how you can get in touch with us and attend our meetings. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Now Spinning. We have a very special episode for us today. We have some guests here today from MSU Vinyl Nights. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourselves and get right into it.
My name is Freddy Angeles. I'm coming from MSU, and I'm the vice president of MSU Vinyl Nights.
Hello, I'm the co-president and co-founder of MSU Vinyl Nights over from Michigan State.
What's your name?
Gio. That's my name.
Good to meet you.
What's your name?
And then also with us today, we have
Tyler Reck.
And I'm still Simon Medina, as always.
There we go.
So first of all, I want to say thanks for coming on here. Really appreciate it. It's cool to know that there's other like vinyl clubs out there.
Ones that are like close by.
Yeah, right. We talked to one that was in Japan, but we didn't know there was one in Michigan until, you know, just a little bit ago. So that's really awesome that you guys got into it.
So how are the plans coming to go over to Japan and get a meeting set up over there?
We're working on it.
Shout out to the Vinyl Record Club in Japan.
They're cool. They actually listen to these. So
oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, about this. That's awesome. That's why we got to give a complimentary shout out.
Friends of the show. So I just want to, you know, let's start out from the beginning though. So how did you get into vinyl? Like what was the incident that got you to start collecting?
If I'm gonna be completely honest, it's gonna be the co-president here and then the other co-president. So that's gonna be Kenny and Gio.
Yeah, Kenny's cool.
Yeah. So those two really brought that up upon me. So where I come from, Florida, there's not a lot of that, especially the small town where I'm from, like Immokalee. There's not a lot of vinyl stuff or physical media. It's all digital and all that stuff. So whenever I came over here, I met these two people by coincidence. Met Kenny in the gym, and then I met him just because, I mean, he's long friends with Kenny. And then they introduced me into vinyls, and greatest blessing I've ever had. Appreciate you guys.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, so honestly, I just got into albums. That's really what I love more about it, less than the physical media part. I love the idea that the artist like specifically put each song in the specific spot that it's in, and it's kind of like a story, and that's what I'm really into. So then when I like found out about like how big the record community was, kind of caught my ear immediately, and got into that like as fast as I could.
That's awesome, man. What was the first record you ever bought yourself?
Oh,
can you remember that?
Didn't I ask you this?
I was trying to think of it.
That was like the first time. That was what the.
I think it was the first.
The very first. It was on. It was the second one you guys had, but it was like the end of March. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Right. I think the first one that I received was Man on the Moon, Kid Cudi. The first one that I bought was Kid See Ghosts by Kanye and Kid Cudi.
Nice. How many records did you say you have now?
Now it's 70. Still growing. Nice. You know, but that's awesome. Where we're at right now.
I'm sorry I cut you off, man.
No, you're good. I was going to say, I think the first one I got was with Kenny. We had went up over there, and then I know it was a jazz album. I don't know whose it was specifically. If it was Dean Martin or Frank Sinatra.
Nice.
But I know it was a jazz. And I know that was the first one I got just because I was there with Kenny and I felt like I had to get something. And then after that, I was pulled into it way too much. I couldn't stop.
That's how they get you, man. Yeah. That's how it always goes.
And I've got a question that I probably asked you guys too. Mm-hmm. Like, how did you find us?
That's a good question. Because
like I didn't even realize you guys were a thing until you stumbled into our meeting on the 18th of March. It's like, oh, we have a meeting this Friday. You know, come on in. Friday the what, 21st or something like that, right, you know, and yeah, I was like, right. And it was like, come on. I was like, sure, I'll go. And I went and yeah. And I liked it. I'd go, I'm planning on going this Friday, but by the time this thing comes out, there won't be any more though for the rest of the semester. Yeah.
Unfortunately. Yeah. We actually, me and Kenny, there was when we first started thinking about becoming a registered organization, we, tried to like look up record clubs in the area. You know, just to see like what we're working with, if we could even do it. And you guys actually showed up the website when we were looking up, like we found the LCC VRC, and that's how we found it at first. And then when we became registered, the LCC president, Steve, he reached out to us and just talked about what LCC VRC was. And we made it to the first meeting that we could.
Yeah. Nice.
And it was kind of strange because we knew who Steve was, but we didn't know who he was. So we walked in thinking, okay, so who do we go up to and like introduce ourselves like, as?
Go to the guy dressed all fancy.
Well, there was a couple there. Yeah, so right. We couldn't just distinguish someone and be like, I think you're the president around here. Yeah. You look like you run stuff around here. So we just kind of stuck around and we had a great time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 100%.
That's good. Yeah. I was also, that kind of leads in what I was going to ask next was, how did Vinyl Nights come about? What made you think that it would be a cool idea to have like a, you know, a record club of your own? Like what inspired it? I mean,
yeah. So honestly, it happened so fast. Me and Kenny, our president, we dormed together. So we were just talking one night. We said, hey, what if we invited a bunch of people over? And like, I think at first we called it record night and it doesn't really sound
roll off.
Yeah.
The
it doesn't really roll off the tongue too well. So we started record nights. We said, hey, we're having a record nights tomorrow. Just come over at like 8, let's just hang out in the dorm. And that's how it started. And it really was just like just our friends. But then we just had to keep on doing it every week. We started doing it every week in the dorm. It started growing out of the dorm.
Yeah, because there was too many people. You guys are in Holden, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to work in South Neighborhood. And, you know, those dorms can be really very, very small.
Yeah. It was not very space efficient for what we were trying to do. Right. So then we moved out into the community lounge. And we just got so much support from community, from everybody who was interested in it. And we were like, I mean, we kind of have to, like, we have no choice but to make this an actual organization.
Yeah. That's even awesome. Even getting the chance to have some certain MSU basketball players show up at your last one.
Shout out Colin Carr and Jeremy Fears.
Shout out, yes.
That I completely missed because I had to watch my sisters.
Yeah, we almost missed it too. We saw them and we were like, oh, that's cool. Like, more people came. And then we looked, oh, that's Colin Carr and Jeremy Fears. Wait, hold on.
Yeah. Crazy enough, I looked them dead in their eyes, and I looked at one of our members, Jacob, and I was like, I know who they are. I just don't know their name. I'm completely blanking. I know they're somebody, though. They do something. I know that for sure.
If I was there, I would have played, like, the Curly Shuffle. You know, like, the song that's the helmet shuffle at MSU basketball games? Yeah. I would have played that. And I'd be like, hey, you guys probably know this one.
Does this sound familiar?
Yeah.
And then I know at the end they introduced themselves to us as they were leaving. They're like, yeah, my name's Cohen. I was like, nobody. I was like, oh, this is the Cohen Carr.
Yeah.
And then he was like, Jeremy. I was like, Jeremy, oh my goodness. I was over here just rambling on. I don't even know who these guys are.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Of course.
I hope they show up to this one.
I'm going to tell them Tyler missed out.
Yeah.
He has to show up this time.
I'd bring in like one of my like, dad's MSU tickets or something like that.
Let me get one signature, please.
Bring my MSU hat.
Yeah, get the hat signed. That's good.
Yeah, it was pretty cool because it was the record painting night and people had them sign their records that they were painting on like the back of what they were already working on.
Yeah.
That was a cool idea. That was super sick.
I did not get my record signed. Yeah. I just thought about that. I should have.
That brings into another thing. Like, you guys do a lot of very cool stuff. Like, you partnered with like the Holden Hall government or something. Yeah. Was that the one on Thursday where you guys painted in the engineering building, or was that?
No, that was the that office was, yeah. of engineering yeah. diversity and inclusivity. And,
Freddie, I assume you got that kind of deal with that, right?
No, actually, that was set up with him through one of the connections that he knows. So it was wow. one of his mutual friends who was yep. part of the engineering college.
Oh, yep. Shout out you here.
I thought yeah. you would have been with the mechanical engineering and all that stuff.
I know you're here, but not too well. So it was just it was a mutual connection that yeah, they know each other.
Yeah. But
that was amazing yeah. to see. Once I seen that we were going to have that up, and I was like, oh, my goodness, that's amazing.
Are there any other, like, things that you're going to plan on doing in, like, maybe over, like, this, well, if people don't go back home, you know, if you mm-hmm. still have that sort of group that stays here, are there anything that you may plan on doing during the summertime?
Well, actually, on the drive here, we were just talking about it. I got a message receiving asking for me to bring Vinyl Nights to Florida, which is where I'm going back for the summer.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking of bringing that down there and seeing if I can get a small crowd to just participate or just to acknowledge, because like I said, not a lot of people take pleasure in physical media down there.
Yeah.
Not because they don't want to, just because there's no access.
Oh, that's really awesome.
Yeah.
And we also talked about encouraging our members and our followers to have their own vinyl nights. Mm. So, you know, if you want to get with your friends or just be by yourself and play records.
Yeah.
And if you want to send in the videos, that's what we're thinking about right now, just to keep it going, you know, keep people excited about it.
That is like the kind of downside of being at like a university is like, oh,
right.
you have all these people going back home. Whereas here at LCC, nobody lives on campus,
right.
you know, because yeah. everybody just commutes here.
Right.
And, you know, usually those people like live around, you know, but I do appreciate like what you guys do outside of like just the regular vinyl nights, like camping out for record store day.
Yeah, that yeah, was man. Interesting to see. I yeah, didn't
that I had to miss too,
man,
because I was watching my sisters. But you know,
I will say it was a cold night.
right. Yeah, it seeing was. Those you know, updates on Instagram,
those like, were fun.
Hey,
too.
It's 3 a.m. you know, wrapped in a big yeah. blanket and all
shaking.
That. Yeah.
No, yeah. Honestly, the big thing that we kind of like emphasized when we started to make this organization was that this isn't a place for vinyl lovers. This is a place for just community.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to collect.
Yeah.
You don't have to yeah. even be into music. If you want to meet friends, if you want to play a record that you got, if you want to just listen to records, whatever you want to make it, you know, that's what it's about.
Yeah. And all the people that I see going through your, because you guys bring like a case, like you and Kenny, you two and Kenny, like bring in your own case. And I see people like looking through those,
right?
Like looking to see what to play and all that stuff, which is, you know, really cool.
Yeah. We try to do the same thing here. You know, it's like, you know, like we like to say is that like, it's a, like, firstly, it's like a, just a friendship group, you know, just
right.
And secondly, it's a record club. You know, we make a point to be like, you don't, you know, you don't need to have records or anything. Mm-hmm. You just got to be willing to hear stuff you wouldn't normally listen to. That's yes. what we like to say.
And yeah. I feel like that's one of the things that is, you know, so fun about Vinyl Nights is having people come in and find new music tastes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah. I don't feel like I have to like stick to the same shtick that I always have here where I'm like, oh, I bring in a bunch of old music, you know, because I like sticking to the themes here with you guys. Mm-hmm. It's no theme, and you guys are staying there for like 3 hours, and I could like bring in like Fits in the Tantrums or something like that, or right. I could bring in like 50s music or something without, you know, because I've done that the first minute. I think you guys left, you know, and people like dance to it and all that, right. which is like pretty cool.
And then I think one of the greatest things is hearing someone say, "Oh, what is this?"
Or like, oh, yeah.
"I love that." I love
who's
that.
Playing that.
I remember Kenny. I had Fits in the Tantrums picking up the pieces. The first March, whatever meeting, March 21st meeting, I brought that in. Kenny was like, "Whoa, what is this?" And I was like, "I'm definitely, I gotta listen to this."
Right.
I was like, "Yes, you should."
Yes, and that's one of the joys. And I think with us having the crates, I think it's fun seeing people pull out a vinyl and seeing them talk to their friends, thinking like, "Oh wow, look at this."
Yeah.
Like, "Oh, I want to play this," and like that's one of the greatest things I see about physical media. You can pull it out, show it to other people, and express your gratitude and like how much you enjoy that record.
Yeah, that's what I really love as well. Just being able to. It's a good way to start conversation, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you bring in a record somebody likes, they're like, "I like that one, I recognize that, it's a good song," and you start talking about it, and then, you know, you before you know, you've been talking about this band or something for, like, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's exactly how it goes.
It's fantastic. Yeah, I was kind of segueing from that into, I know there's like I can't talk today. Hey. The way you run your meetings is definitely like a little bit different than ours, because I think that compared to ours, yours is kind of a little bit, it's like a little bit more structured, but like also less structured at the same time, if that makes sense.
No, yeah. Makes sense. The structure part is that you guys actually have like a way to tell who's up for playing something next.
We got kind of a line.
Yeah, kind of, but they have a definitive thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, you know, you write your name on the sticky note, what song you want to play or what side, then you put it in the queue. You know,
that is pretty cool.
Whereas we hear it's like, there's nothing on.
Literally go right up there and throw something up.
Yep. I think one of the nice things that y'all have is y'all stands, which we did take a lot of inspiration from.
Cool.
And then we took that. I think the structure that you're referring to is the queuing, but then the less structure would also have to be the fact that we sometimes let sides completely play out.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
and then we forget just because we're having such a great conversation about what's going on in the background.
Or like movies, we did in that first meeting where everyone was like all mad at people and stuff.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Shout out to Sarai. I hope you have gone down to watching some of those spectacular movies that we were talking about, because they are
Lion,
must watch.
The Lion King.
Never seen Lion King.
Sorry, Sarai, for calling you out, but everybody was so mad. Like, they were so confused. Like, well, you have never watched The Lion King?
Some of your other takes, I understand not watching, but The Lion King?
Yeah.
Like, that's The Lion King.
Not, like, 99.99% of people know The Lion King.
Yeah.
Such a good movie. It's a classic.
That's so crazy.
I think we might have one of the Vinyl Nights be just a movie marathon where we have soundtracks to the movie that we're watching, because some people need to watch these kind
of
movies.
That's a good idea.
Crazy part is, like, I think it's more difficult to go your entire life without seeing The Lion King. Like, I feel like it was just everywhere.
That takes effort. You have to, avoid it. You got to be trying.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'd say part of why you're able to play, just whole album sizes, because you go for, 3 hours every night. That is
awesome. Sometimes when March Madness was going on, MSU basketball was conveniently at 10 p.m.
Yeah.
So we just stay 2 hours later and watch the basketball games.
Yeah, and that's not something that we try to do. We don't try to just go for super long. But
it was MSU basketball.
Yeah, right.
And you're what better place than to be on campus watching MSU basketball?
Right, exactly. But I don't think we've ever ended at a time that we were supposed to.
Yeah.
And it's just I think that's just kind of, you know, that's it's not a meeting. We call them meetings, but they're not meetings. They're more just hangout.
Right.
So that's another thing that brings it back to kind of the unstructuredness of it.
Right. I think that just comes from us meeting in the dorm. I think we kind of just stuck to that. That we loved
that
how
hangout
it was.
Feel. That
yeah.
It is.
Right. And we don't want to lose that.
Yeah. It's something you definitely don't want to lose. It brings together the camaraderie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Let's, go do, whatever, afterwards, which I really enjoy. I remember there was a while there with our record club where we'd have a group get together and we'd go to the record stores. We'd go to Flat Black and Circular first. And then we'd shoot down to the record lounge and we'd go back to LCC. I still do that. Yeah. I'm by myself.
Yeah.
Because everybody's busy or working or stuff that.
Right. And that's also what we try to do with our themes and our events that we do. We try to focus on things where it doesn't take up your entire time, where you can still talk to people, meet people, talk about music. You know, with the painting night, that was perfect. You know, just paint while you talk to the people around you.
And the music's in the background, you're listening, you're thinking, man, this is a great record, while you're in your painting. Mm-hmm. Shout out to all the Picassos that we had out there.
Oh my goodness.
So many great artists.
I wish I was
I'm not one of them.
Yeah, no, I'm not either. I mean, I was going to paint my cottage, but I was like, no, I don't want to mess that up. Yeah, so I just painted the X-Men logo.
Yeah, that one was pretty sick.
Yeah,
that was
pretty cool though.
Sadly, I'm sorry to anybody who saw my Mowgli Indians logo. it was no good actually.
Gosh.
It was really bad. It was a credation to my high school, and I don't think I did it justice. I'm sorry, guys.
I'm sure they'll forgive you. They can't see it right here. No. We'll have you back on one of the days. You can like bring it and hold them up for the camera. Oh, they can see it.
I'm so sorry. Guys.
I don't think we can make it that day.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, painting. That's a really awesome like idea for a meeting. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, right. Do you have any like besides that? Do you have any other ideas? You know, going forward for kind of like special topics like that.
Totally.
That you're willing to share.
Yeah. So actually, this week we're super excited. We're doing a like Song Wars tournament. Ooh. So really what it's going to be is like everybody picks a record and we're going to have a theme go up from like a wheel and then like a bracket style people going against each other mm-hmm. and see like who can match the theme the best from their picks, like mm-hmm. their records. We're really excited about that one. We have that. And next week we're going to do a karaoke night.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be there. I don't care what I have to do. I am going to be there.
So that one, I think the idea for that one is like, either cue up a record, you know, because not everybody wants to do karaoke. Either cue up a record or cue up yourself, you want to mm-hmm. sing something. So we're really excited for that. We want to do some more theme nights next mm-hmm. semester. Nice. But yeah, we're really excited. We have a lot of ideas.
I'm looking forward to it.
And we have a ton of ideas. It's always just the execution that comes down to it.
So you
can throw out an idea there, but when it comes down to the execution, it's like, oh, we actually have to plan how this works.
That's
we have to make sure this is viable for everyone and like have a good time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That hit me right in my soul, man. I feel that. We love coming up with ideas, but then when it comes to like actually running them, you got to think about that too much. It's just a hassle.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think the two painting nights that week, we had the two painting nights back to back. That was like the most stressful week of my life.
Did you like, you got like actual records for people to paint on or what was
well, the? Well, yeah. The one in the engineering building was like little.
Like 7 inches.
But they weren't like actual.
Yeah, they were like five.
Like, yeah, they were like fake ones. But right. like the, from one of the pictures I saw on the Friday one, mm-hmm. it was like actual, like yes. true.
Wow. They were albums. Actual ones. Mm-hmm. We made sure that they were all like unplayable.
Yeah, like beat up kind of like.
Where'd you get them from? It's just like
FBC.
The giant like the bookshelf full of free stuff, right?
I went over there to talk to them. I was like, hey, is it okay if we were just grabbed like 60, 50 of them and just take them? It's like, is that fine? They're like, yeah, go ahead.
Shout out FBC. They're one of the most amazing people. Love them over there.
They're awesome. I wish I was there to see that one, definitely, though. That's a awesome idea for a meeting.
Yeah, so was I.
So it's
that,
okay.
That one took a little bit of time to set up, and then we had to remove all the vinyls from the actual albums and then setting them up for everyone to get to the painting.
So you got like just a pile of like 50 album covers somewhere.
Oh, yeah. We do. It's in my house.
Nice.
They're hanging around in the corner somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. Somewhere in there.
Bring it back. People can draw on those next, maybe.
Yeah. We had some people drawing on the covers. Mm-hmm. Like they, I don't know where we had. We didn't have them for display, but some people just found them and then started painting them.
There were a box in the back. Some people just decided to grab them.
Right. But, good for them.
Yeah.
I've like a couple albums I've found like I like at a FBC and Record Lounge like in the dollar bin. Sometimes people will just like draw on them. Like they just put a mustache on someone that's so beautiful. I wish I remember what the album was, but I remember I found a couple like that.
Or like, I can't remember what it was, but yesterday, shout out Andy, he brought in like something, because our theme yesterday was live albums. We're going to have that podcast episode like later. But Gio, you were there. You remember this, how like whatever like album he had, the S and the P.
Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah, and the S and the R were colored in with blue.
With a pen you could tell,
Yeah.
That's the fun of collecting. You always like buy the old stuff. Yeah. You see someone else owned it and they're well loved.
Well loved. I saw a copy of Revolver one time where John Lennon's lips were painted red.
That's beautiful.
And those are unique. You're not gonna find that anywhere else.
Yeah. No.
That's just yours.
That's good. That's the part of the joy of the physical media aspect is like especially if you buy used, every single one you buy has like a story.
Yeah.
Somebody like you said, painted John Lennon's lips in red.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, they write their name on it or everything. It's always interesting when you buy something to wonder like, oh, who had this, where'd it mm-hmm. come from?
Yeah, one of our first vinyl nights, someone picked an Earth, Wind and Fire album from my collection. Mm-hmm. And I had never opened it, but I just had it. And we pulled it out to play and we realized like it was an entirely different record.
Nice.
Oh, yes.
So many times. That started some controversy over at Vinyl Nights.
I don't like that.
No.
I don't. No, not at all.
Mm-mm.
I've had that experience.
Oh, yeah.
I had the Frank Sinatra, The World We Knew. Great find, I thought. 50 cents from this old couple out in Reno.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
I thought I had gems. I take it home. I didn't even take the time to check there. I take it all the way home. Then again, it's only 50 cents that I paid for it.
Yeah.
But I take it all the way home. I'm ready to play it. I pull it out. It's a completely different album. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Nice.
Goodness.
I have a session with Gary Lewis and the Playboys. Mm. On those. I was like, oh, I'm going to play their version of Palisades Park. This is going to be great. I put it on the turntable. I go and cue it up. I put it down. It's a completely different song. I look at the label, and it's a completely different Gary Lewis and the Playboys record.
That must have been a little bit more heartbreaking. You were actually down to play it right
already. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
I just pulled mine out, and I seen it.
Same artist, too.
It's close enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Earth, Wind & Fire, it was another different Earth, Wind & Fire album, which is pretty crazy.
This one time I actually lucked out. I bought this. It was like a Cream or something was the band, but like it had two albums in there instead of one.
I
didn't say anything.
Yeah,
I just bought it and I was just like, they didn't even look at it.
I have that experience too.
Shout out to the record lounge.
Yeah, I need to run into that
Heather.
Problem.
Yeah.
Friend of the show, literally.
Yeah, I love Heather. She's brilliant. She gives me good discounts.
Always hooks me up. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. I got an experience with that too, the two records in one. I think off Facebook Marketplace, like I got like a lot of records, you know, like a lot, like six records or something. And one of them was Black Sabbath by Black Sabbath. Nice. And they had two records in there, and one of them was Paranoid.
Jeez.
That is a fine.
That's a steal.
That's a diamond.
Yeah. It's up north. It's up north right now.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Any final questions?
No, I don't know. I mean, do you have anything you'd like to ask us at all?
Yeah, we should have.
That's a good question.
Some time. Yeah.
I don't know. No, we were very impressed. I mean, like we're absolutely. Coming from this organization that just started. We've had about five or six meetings, and then coming to check out one that's already
established
and already has a structure of some kind. It was really impressive to see your guys' record club. So I would ask, I don't know what kind of like principles have you guys stood on, like. As you guys continue to grow?
I mean, I guess just the number one thing that we like believe in is just being very open and accepting to people, no matter what their music taste is, whether they own records or not. We like, you know, everybody can play whatever they want. It's like a judgment-free zone, you know, the music, you play whatever music, you know, that you want to play.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. And then, like he was saying, it was super impressive to see what you guys were doing. And I mean, this podcast in itself, it's super amazing.
Thank you.
That's something that I really like. I love the idea of having a podcast for the Vinyl Nights.
Oh, yeah. We would love to, but I mean.
Oh, yeah. The time, though.
Time,
the management.
Yeah.
Well, if you ever figure it out, man, just give me a call.
I mean, Impact is in Holden Hall, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That is very true. Very true.
Gosh. I'm glad to have you guys on. I'm glad that we were able to, you know, inspire you, a little bit. You guys have also taught us a bit, like, you know, just seeing how you guys have started out. Avoiding some of the problems we had when we were starting. I know you've come up with like I said, like a couple of the ways you do things, you know, it's inspiring to us at the same time. So it's good.
That.
There's like a little back and forth.
Oh yeah. Yeah. 100%.
I do think though, that's going to have to end call it for today. Thank you so much for being on both of you guys. It's an honor to have everybody on here.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
If you're interested in all in coming into any record club meetings in the future though, you can check out our website. And which will be everything on there. We'll have the podcast, the past playlist from past meetings, any information you need about future meetings, themes, that kind of thing. Also, I'd like advise you to check out the MSU Vinyl Nights. They have a
Instagram.
Go follow their account. You'll find anything you need to know about their setup, anything like that, new meeting dates, themes, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
MSU Vinyl Nights.
At MSU Vinyl Nights. Yeah. Go check them out. They're really cool. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Watching or listening in from home.
Watching.
Well, there's a video. Yeah. But thank you all for checking it out. We'll see you all next time. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is WLNZ, Lansing. You're listening to LCC Connect Weekly, a radio program from Lansing Community College's podcast network, LCC Connect. Powered by LCC staff, faculty, students, and community volunteers, LCC Connect brings you the voices, vibes, and vision of Lansing Community College and the spirit of Mid-Michigan. We feature more than 30 podcasts that explore education, culture, community, and our connection to the world. To listen on demand, find us at lccconnect.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
LCC.
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.